Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Today's episode of The Other Stories has been sponsored by Beasts of Immortality, Blood and Purpose by Paul J. Kearns. A brutal attack on a pregnant woman leaves her family caught in an ancient feud. The actions of her sons could decide the fate of all humankind. Blood and Purpose, the first book in the Beasts of Immortality novel series, follows the Austin family and the SOVEU, the Special Operations Vampire Elimination Unit, as they fight for their lives against a race of militarized vampires. The book is out now and available in paperback and ebook from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all places you can find books. Once again, that's Beasts of Immortality, Blood and Purpose. Today's episode is The Pleasure of Pain, written by Liam Hogan and narrated by James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors.
So, what was it I just took? The pharmacist leaned forward in the plastic white chair. It's a derivative of MDMA. I briefly struggled through the fog, my mind snagging on the half-familiar name. Ecstasy. I smiled and relaxed back into the sagging sofa. Ecstasy was good. Ecstasy I could cope with. Not that what he'd given me looked like the ecstasy I was used to. Not that any of his pills ever did. A derivative, he corrected. I'd been coming to the pharmacist on an ad hoc basis for, what, a year? Of course, he wasn't a real pharmacist. Strictly, he wasn't a dealer either, since he didn't take payment. Not even if you offered. No. You went to see the pharmacist when you were short on the readies, or looking for something a bit different. That's what he had. Pills that were a bit different. I swayed my head in time to the music. Some Euro trash thing. Waiting for the familiar swell of euphoria. A shoulder slumped. It's not working. He leant forward. Shone his little mag light in my eyes and nodded. That was the other thing about the pharmacist. Was always taking your pulse, tapping your knee, or asking you to count to 20 in twos. I blinked the red splotches away as he swiveled in his seat. I thought he was reaching for his pen to make another note on his clipboard. But no, He returned instead with a fork and held it in the air between us. Great, I mugged. I'm starving. The bastard stabbed me on the back of my hand. And then all the stars in heaven united behind my eyes, and angels sang glorious hymns to my heart, and all was bliss and all was joy. Whoa, I gasped, as the single greatest rush in my drug-strewn life ebbed far too rapidly away. A derivative, the pharmacist repeated, as the ringing in my ears faded to a hum. Activated by the endorphins released by intense pain. Here, he handed over the fork. I looked at it, and then at the four red dots on the back of my hand, and then back at him. Well, go on, he encouraged. And I did, and beauteous pleasure rolled once again through my shuddering body, and I sank deep into the loving arms of the stained sofa, only slowly to the surface, blinking into the dazzling light of the bare bulb. Good reaction, the pharmacist said, getting all businesslike as I sat gulping air. Usual deal. Three. No. For you, five pills. In return for a detailed report. Goes without saying that these are for your personal use only, and if asked, you have no idea where they came from. He tucked the Ziploc bag into my parka pocket, patted it softly, and then he was gone. Who knows where? Because we never met in the same squat twice, leaving me on another come down, still clutching the fork. By the time I emerged into the afternoon sunlight, my hand looked like a pincushion. Beads of ruby red where the skin was broken, dots of black where the damage lay beneath. But that didn't worry me. Nothing worried me. Because everything was equally shit. It was all dross and dirt and death. Nothing mattered. Nothing but the memory of that explosion of ecstasy each time I plunged the fork into my hand, into my thigh, into my foot, over and over until the explosion stopped coming, until my only reward was a dull sense of pain, itself a matter of little consequence, trivial and banal next to the loss of that express elevator to nirvana. But then, I did have five magical pills nestling in a little baggie close to my heart. It was an effort not to drop one right there and then in the middle of the street. I've never sunk that low. I like to be somewhere sheltered when I score. Somewhere safe. Somewhere away from the busies. You can't just rock up at a mate's squat, pop a pill, and refuse to share. It's not friendly. So there's only one place to go. I was off to Cat's. Cat wasn't a mate. Cat wasn't a user. Cat was a dominatrix, a mistress of pleasure in a world of pain. I'd sublet her a room in my council flat when she'd just started out and provided a reassuring presence when the punters weren't as submissive as they should be. Not that I would have been much use in a ruckus, but my lanky 6'2" frame, close-cropped hair and multiple piercings meant no one bothered to call my bluff. She'd gone up market since and me down, but I figured she still owed me. Cat peered up expectantly as she swung the door open, swathed in one of her silk kimonos. A brief look of disappointment flashed across her delicate features and suggested I shouldn't overstay my welcome. "Mind if I crash for an hour?" I asked, employing my most engaging smile. It's been known to make small kids soil themselves, but hey, it's the best I've got. She shrugged. A client cancelled. Thought they might have changed their mind. Gotta be gone by 5 though, okay? I nodded and was about to say something else when she yelped. What the hell have you done to your hand? I raised it up, staring at the patchwork of blues and blacks against a background of angry red. It's nothing, I muttered. Doesn't it hurt? She asked, gingerly reaching out, her fingers dwarfed by my swollen digits. I shook my head. No, not really. And it didn't, even though it did kind of look a fright. Before I knew it, Cat had wheedled the whole story out of me
And so there we were, with a pill and a tumbler of scotch each. I'd never known Kat to take more than a toke on a joint, but this, she said, was different. This was professional. This was research. She'd set out the tools of her trade on the coffee table. Riding crops, paddles, crocodile clips. She confiscated the fork I was surprised to find I still had, and laid down the ground rules. I'll do you if you do me, she said. But nothing to the face or... she shuddered. The hands, okay? I nodded my ready agreement. Bottoms up, I said, as I popped the pill and washed it down. To tell you the truth, it all gets a bit hazy after that. At some point we got naked. I do remember that. I remember her hissing, "Bite me." And then, "Harder." And then yelling, "Bite me harder, you ugly sod." I remember the end of the riding crop flying across the room, the manic laugh as she stood above me, panting, holding the broken handle. I think I remember taking another pill, and then raiding her kitchen for sturdier implements. There's a fairly clear memory of watching a flaming blue liquid that was probably drambuie, dancing in my navel, filling my core, the very essence, with bottomless bliss. And then the doorbell ringing. The arrival of her 5 o'clock. His truncated cry of shock at being confronted by Kat's naked and blood-spattered body, instead of the demure schoolteacher he'd very specifically requested, and how the sight of me in an even more gory state almost had him pegging it into the evening night before Kat somehow convinced him to stay and take that fifth and final pill. There were definitely screams. Endless screams. I think they were his. They might just as well have been mine. Left to my own devices with half the cutlery drawer scattered across the floor, I discovered the sound of an electric carving knife was the most beautiful sound in all the world. As I listened to the little motor valiantly struggle, I thought I might die in exquisite joy. Then the truncated wail of a siren, blue lights flashing as the door was hammered down. The sound of a pod retching up his guts. And finally nothing. Nothing at all. Until I woke surrounded by white. White sheets. White curtains. A white-clad doctor dropping a syringe into a kidney dish. "Ah," he said, tipping his half-moon glasses back a little. "You're awake." "Good. How do you feel?" I thought about his question for a moment. The insane pleasure was gone, but the crashing low from my first come down wasn't there either. I felt empty. "Okay," I said. "No pain?" he asked. "No," I agreed. "Well, that's good," he said, in a way that suggested quite the opposite. "Do you mind answering a few questions?" I nodded, happy to help. He picked a photo out of the file he was holding. A grey face stared back at me. Thin lips, flabby cheeks, the head at a strange angle to his neck. "Do you recognise this man?" "Sure," I said. "Cat's 5 o'clock. Don't think I ever got his name." We were rather hoping... but never mind. Let's try this one." "Easy," I replied. "The pharmacist. I don't know his real name either." Odd how he had the same glassy look, the same awkward-looking position. And there was something dark, some stain on the wall he was leaning against. Or was that the floor? "Oh well, we'll try other methods of identification," the doc said. "Cat's 6 o'clock, presumably." I shook my head. "I don't think Kat knows him." He clicked the pen in his hand. "A pharmacist, you say? What sort of a pharmacist?" I glared at him in sudden suspicion. He didn't look much like a copper. But then, what, I thought, would a copper in a white coat look like? Best be cautious. Look, I said, as agreeably as I could. What's this all about? Who did you say you were? Why are you so interested in the 5 o'clock and that other man? What am I doing in hospital? Where's Kat? And why the hell am I tied down? He clicked his pen a couple more times, looking me over, before taking a deep breath. My name is Dr. Chatham, and I'm a specialist in neuropharmacology. You were brought to my attention as there's something blocking your pain receptors. We're not sure what, but I've given you an injection that should help clear whatever it is from your system. The 5 o'clock and pharmacist are, I'm afraid to say, both in the morgue, and you're lucky not to have joined them. It was touch and go for a while. Which I hope adequately explains why you're in hospital. Kat is manacled to a radiator somewhere downstairs near the hospital pharmacy. No one has managed to get near enough to give her a sedative. She's already sent 2 porters and 3 policemen to A&E, and seems to be eager for more. More drugs, or more policemen. She isn't choosy. So anything you can tell us about what you took, would be most helpful. He held my nonchalant gaze for a while, and then sighed and turned to go. Oh, and you're not tied down, he said at the door. I struggled to raise my head, the picture rearranging itself. I'd been mistaken about the white sheets. There were no sheets. Instead, there was an expanse of bandages covering my entire torso. As I looked at the odd shapes attached to that torso, at the short stumps with their splashes of crimson red slowly seeping through the white cotton, the last of the MDMA derivative must have finally been mopped from my brain. Because at that moment, that precise moment, a million tiny demons armed with barbed tridents set to work in the agony, the excruciating, white-hot, unbearable, never-ending agony began.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Ever Stories. The Pleasure of Pain was written by Liam Hogan, narrated by James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horace, edited by Carl Hughes, with music by Carl Hughes and Chris Zabriskie and Tom Robson. The episode illustration was provided by Luke Spooner of Carry On House. A quick thanks to our community managers, Joshua Boucher and Jasmine Arch, and to Carolyn O'Brien for helping with our submission reading, and of course to Ben Errington for serving up fresh scoops of content from his social media ice cream van. Ooh, sprinkles. Liam Hogan is an award-winning short story writer with stories in The Best of British Science Fiction and The Best of British Fantasy. He's been published by Analog, Daily Science Fiction and Flame Tree Press, among others. He helps host Liars League London, volunteers at the creative writing charity Ministry of Stories, and lives and avoids work in London. More details at happyendingnotguaranteed.blogspot.co.uk. James Barnett is the producer of the Night's End podcast, a short story fiction podcast with tales of horror and the paranormal. Search for it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also catch other works of his at jamesbarnettauthor.com, and that's Barnett spelt with 2 T's. Once again, this episode has been sponsored by Beasts of Immortality, Blood and Purpose by Paul J. Kearns. A brutal attack on a pregnant woman leaves her family caught in an ancient feud. The actions of her sons could decide the fate of all humankind. Blood and Purpose, the first book in the Beasts of Immortality novel series, follows the Austin family in the SOVEU, the Special Operations Vampire Elimination Unit, as they fight for their lives against a race of militarized vampires. The book is out today and available in paperback and ebook from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the places where you find books. So pick up a copy of Beasts of Immortality, Blood and Purpose by Paul J. Kearns today. The Ever Stories is a production of the story studio Hawk and Cleaver, and is brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. That means don't change it, don't sell it, but by all means share the hell out of it.
Until next time. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.